Fasten your seatbelt and turn up the radio. We're going on a road trip. Welcome to Route 51, local talk radio for North Central Wisconsin. I'm Glenn Moberg. Today on Route 51, we look ahead to Earth Day by focusing on the status of two of the most colorful and interesting wildlife species in Wisconsin today. And in the case of one of them, one of the most controversial. We're talking about prairie chickens and wolves, with the spring counts for both species right around the corner. Our guests today are Adrian Wideven, wildlife biologist for the DNR and the state's top wolf expert, who will be addressing the growing population of an animal that not too many years ago had vanished from our state. Just this week, citizens at Conservation Congress meetings around the state voted in favor of a wolf hunt to control the animals. Also joining us today, another wildlife biologist with the DNR, Lisa Kardash, who is the top prairie chicken expert for the state, and Sharon Schwab, coordinator of the Central Wisconsin Grassland Conservation Area Partnership. That's the group that's coordinating this weekend's Prairie Chicken Festival at the Mead Wildlife Area and the Buena Vista Grasslands south of Millidor. Now, if you've got questions or comments about wolves, prairie chickens, or maybe even about that big cougar that was shot and killed 3 days ago in a residential Chicago neighborhood, may have come from Wisconsin, please give us a call at 261-6371. That's 261-6371, or toll free at 1-800-780-9742. And Adrian and Lisa and Sharon, thanks so much for being with us today. I think I'm going to just start out, Adrian, by asking you some questions about that cougar, since that's sure. The breaking news, and wherever I go, people are asking me about it. If you've watched the television news reports, I get WGN, which is Channel 9 in Chicago, on my satellite. This animal was big. It was about 160 pounds.
It wasn't quite that big. I think the initial descriptions were 150 pounds, but the actual weight at the necropsy was 122 pounds. So it's overestimated.
But it was in a residential Chicago neighborhood on the north side called Roscoe Village. If you're familiar with it, it's an ethnic neighborhood where the houses are all wood frame, a couple of stories packed pretty much one on top of another with a couple of parks. But that animal, if it came from Wisconsin or anywhere else, would have had to somehow make it across about 10 miles of heavily developed area, maybe even cross an expressway in order to get into this neighborhood. How is that possible?
Well, if you look at the site where it was killed, there is a river just a little bit west of there, which runs into Lake Michigan near Wilmot. Wilmot was the last place this animal had been recorded or supposedly observed, a little bit to the north. I guess that would be my hypothesis. Maybe follow the riverway. There are several little parks along that riverway, so I suspect more brushy and more natural vegetation along
that way. Well, Wilmette is also right along the Lake Michigan shoreline, so I suppose
that's a possibility, too, that it would travel along the shoreline, yes. Wherever it could find any kind of wild cover, any kind of shrubbery or trees.
Do you think that it came from Wisconsin? We had reports of a wild animal in Rock County.
That's right. We had one down in Milton, Wisconsin, or near Milton, and we've done genetic testing on that animal and have been able to determine that it's a North American origin, a male, and it genetically most closely matches cougars from the Black Hills. And we are going to get a genetic sample from this Chicago one, so we should be able to determine whether they are the same individual or not.
Now you guys have been telling us for years that there's no evidence, no definitive evidence of a cougar population in the state of Wisconsin. Are you going to stop telling us that now that they're finding them in downtown Chicago?
Well, for 18 years, I've been looking for cougars, and in 18 years, this one in Milton was the first time I've been able to confirm one. But even before we had the genetic evidence, the pictures of tracks, the evidence from the tracks alone, the other sign were all very evident of a cougar. So I think if we have an actual cougar, they'll leave sign, and we'll be able to verify that's what we have.
261-6371, 261-6371, or 1-800-780-9742. If you'd like to talk to Adrian Wideven or Lisa Kardash or Sharon Schwab, let's move to the other, one of the other animals we'll be talking about on this Earth Day edition of Route 51, the prairie chicken. Lisa, the spring counts for these birds are right around the corner. Are they happening right now?
They've been going on now for a couple of days. We feel that the peak of the season is probably going to be this weekend coming. There's been a lot of activity on the grounds.
Well, that's good because you're going to have a lot of people I want to call them duck blinds, but technically they're chicken blinds out there on the Buena Vista grasslands. Or do you say Buena Vista?
It's been said both ways. we're going to have a lot of people out for the festival Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. There's going to be a lot of blinds that people will be sitting in and getting up really early in the morning. We hope there'll be a good show.
Any spots left for those? Usually they fill up pretty quickly.
I'm fairly certain that it's all booked right now.
They're full.
And how about for the bird watching tours in the morning?
There's still some availability there, except for the extended tour, which goes from 6 to 9 a.m. on Saturday at the Buena Vista. The Sunday bird tour as well, that's limited to 6 people. That's also full. But there are some shorter mini tours, we're calling them, on Saturday at Buena Vista. And also at Mead Wildlife Area, there's quite a bit of availability from 7 to 9 a.m.
And Sharon, if people want to call and make a reservation for the few spots that are left, what's the phone number?
343-6215 is the general number for Golden Sands Resource Conservation and Development.
All right, 343-6215. That's also the number to find out more about the Prairie Chicken Festival in general. And that number, the website is prairiechickenfestival.org.
That's correct.
Very easy to remember. I'll tell you what we're going to do. I had the distinct privilege of going out 2 consecutive years now and checking out some of the activities at the Prairie Chicken Festival. I actually sat in a blind and watched the prairie chickens the past year. The year before that, I went on one of the bird hiking tours with a couple of your experts, put together a couple of pieces for Wisconsin Public Radio, and both of them won awards for best use of audio from the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association. So I'm going to play one of those right now. This is one of the walking bird watching tours on the Buena Vista grasslands at the Prairie Chicken Festival. Listen.
We may not be able to see the chickens from here. The fog is going to dictate a lot of things.
Kent Hall of the Aldo Leopold Audubon Society stared at the horizon as the first rays of the sun struggled to pierce a thick mist that covered the Buena Vista wildlife area. Hall was conducting a nature walk for about a dozen early risers who were trying to get a glimpse of the elusive prairie chicken. His partner in the Audubon Society, Vince High, told us what to look and listen for.
And the males come in early in the morning, right after or before sunrise, and start that booming. And then you can hear when there's 2 or 3 of them overlapping. That's quite a good sound.
If the fog was hiding the chickens, there was no hiding the booming and cackling in the distance.
You hear prairie chickens?
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
The birders scanned the flat, foggy terrain with their binoculars and scopes.
Straight across here, kind of like under the sun,
That's a prairie chicken. There should be more out there.
But the elusive bird disappeared into the morning mist. Still, there was more to see. Kent pointed out an eastern meadowlark.
See those 3 posts? It's on the top, and you hear another one. Hear it right there?
That's a meadowlark sound.
Yep.
And Vince spotted a rarer visitor, an upland sandpiper back for the summer from Argentina.
Still got his wing up, one wing up, now he's over the most. That's probably the male that's at the top of the ridge.
They love this kind of field that has been grazed.
Up above, snipes engaged in a noisy aerobatic display, creating an eerie sound that Kent said was caused by the wind whipping through their outstretched tail feathers.
It's got its tail feathers together, but then when it spreads it out, they're very stiff, and so it makes the fluttering sound you hear when it dives.
That's why it's so ethereal. It's weird.
There was a message that Kent Hall tried to convey to the bird watchers on Earth Day morning. The Buena Vista grasslands were set aside to protect the threatened prairie chicken, but they do so much more by providing a vital habitat for many other birds that would otherwise have no place to go.
The grasslands are the most endangered ecosystem of all ecosystems. More grassland habitat has disappeared in North America than any other kind of habitat. That's what makes this place so special.
In fact, the thousands of acres in the Buena Vista Wildlife Area are the largest stretch of grasslands available to the public east of the Mississippi. Glenn Moberg, Wisconsin Public Radio. And again, if you just joined us, there are some spots available if you'd like to go on those bird watching walks this coming Saturday on the Buena Vista Grasslands at the Prairie Chicken Festival. That phone number again for your reservations, 343-6215, 343-6215. We had a caller on the line who wanted to talk about a cougar that he saw, and apparently we lost him. Caller, if you want to call us right back, I'm going to give you another phone number here, 261-6371, 261-6371. We would love to hear from you. We are talking about wildlife, all kinds of wildlife in Wisconsin on this the week before Earth Week, as we look ahead to next week and we celebrate Wisconsin's natural environment. Sharon, what else is happening at the Prairie Chicken Festival this Saturday and Sunday? You're doing this again with the Wisconsin Literary Bash, so it's both books and birds,
right?
Once again.
Yeah, that's correct. There's a number of locations starting. The kickoff is on, well, Friday morning already. There's going to be people at the blinds at Buena Vista, like the one you experienced last year. So we've got about 37 people tomorrow morning that will be meeting us out at the Prairie Chicken Blinds at Buena Vista. And then that evening at the Wisconsin Rapids Mall, there's the Nature Art Crawl. And that's going to be a wonderful opportunity to see some local artists and some local crafts by people that do nature-type crafts and books. And they'll be out at the mall along with some music and a ballet called Redland that's being put on by Academie de la Danse. That's Friday, and then I can get into Saturday.
Well, let's talk about Saturday. I'm going to be introducing Justin Isherwood at the Meade Wildlife Area. Justin is a local author from Portage County. This is at the Meade Wildlife Area, south of Milidor.
And, north of Milidor, actually.
It's north of Milidor.
North of Milidor, correct, on County Road S.
Oh, man, I've got to correct what I've been telling people. It's north of Milidor on County Road S. I'll be there at noon introducing Justin.
That's great.
Gene Faraca of the Ideas Network will be there at 3 o'clock in the afternoon.
Right.
And we've got a prairie chicken calling contest
that's
for the first time this year.
And that's Lisa's area. I'll have to defer to her
all
on
right,
that one.
Lisa, what does a prairie chicken sound like? Can you match what we just played on the tape?
Yeah. Don't ask me to imitate. That'll be for the calling contest. Yeah, it'll be on Saturday at 2:30. There'll be 3 age categories and prizes for the winners. So it should be a lot of fun.
And there'll be a lot of displays. And if you've never been to the Meade Wildlife area, they've got this great building that is it's a green building. It's environmentally sensitive, and it's state-of-the-art, and it's plopped there right down in the middle of the prairie. As you drive on Highway S, just look for the big windmill, the big wind turbine.
We do have the architect of that building as one of the presenters that day. He's giving a couple of tours, so if people are interested in renewable energies and things like that. And we also have a number of vendors that will be talking about those kinds of aspects as well, of all kinds of vendors, and I can talk about those if you like.
All right, and again, it's prairiechickenfestival.org or 343-6215 if you want to find out more. We have hooked up again with our caller, with David in Wausau, and he's on a cell phone. I want to make sure I don't lose you again this time. David, you're on Route 51. What did you see?
Well, I was at Fort McCoy deer hunting, and I came across a set of tracks in the sand, and they only could have been a big cat. There were no claws, so it wasn't a dog or a bear. They were probably 4.5 to 5 inches across. I could see the stiff hairs around the edge. So I guess it had to be a cougar, a big cat. I'm wondering if these critters are so secretive, if one could make it supposedly from Wisconsin down to northern Chicago without really being seen much. Isn't it possible that when you get out into areas that are really rural, they're getting around without being seen? I'll take my answer off the air and hang up.
David, thanks so much for being persistent and calling us back. Adrian Weideman, the DNR's top mammalian ecologist, and he's the guy we usually turn to for wolves and cougars. What do you think?
Well, we do a lot of surveys each winter looking for wolves and other carnivores, including cougars, and we're doing between 6,000 to 7,000 miles, 8,000 miles of track surveys each winter. You don't always see the claws on a track. That could be a wolf track, it could be a cougar track, but actually the size is almost too big for a cougar. Cougars rarely get to be over 4 inches across. They're generally less than 4 inches, 3.5 to 4 inches. If you're seeing a track that's almost as much as 5 inches, I would guess it may be a wolf track, and for some reason the claws were just not registering, depending on the surface the animal was stepping on or how it was stepping down.
David, you're pretty sure it was a cougar track.
I looked in a tracking book, in a book with tracks. It was more round, just the relationship of the toes to the foot pad, the overall shape.
You didn't get a digital photo of it, did you, David?
No, I did not. I didn't have a camera with me. I'm pretty certain it was a cat. I really, just based on the shape of it, the round as opposed to more of a, what'd you call it, like a pentagon or a square shape. And I may be exaggerating. It was roughly the size of a large softball across.
I guess that would be my guess, a wolf or sometimes bear tracks when you don't see all five toes, and that can happen as well where you're seeing the front foot and if you're not seeing the claws and not seeing all five toes. But I know that the wildlife biologist at Fort McCoy does a lot of track surveys every winter, and I haven't heard from him as far as seeing cougars, not to say that he'd necessarily always catch one going through, and it's always possible an animal like that could be passing through the area. I think if there was any kind of a resident population with all the track surveys they do in the area, they'd probably be picking it up.
Well, how dense do they occur wherever they are? I mean, if you had a sparse population.
One cougar, all of Fort McCoy could be its home range area. So it would be putting its tracks in a lot of different places and it would be crossing a lot of roadways.
Okay. Yeah, I wish I'd taken a photo because, I mean, when I looked afterward, that was my impression, is that's what it was. I mean, it didn't look like the main pad was a bear, and it really didn't look like to be the shape of a dog, but...
Well, David, thanks so much for the phone call, sure. And thanks for sharing your experiences. It's our Wisconsin Wildlife Earth Day show on Route 51. I'm Glenn Moberg. You're tuned to the Ideas Network. If you've had experiences or run-ins with cougars or wolves or prairie chickens, or you just want to talk about the spring migration, the great migration of birds and wild waterfowl that's passing through our beautiful state this time of the year, give us a call and share your experiences, your love of nature at 261-6371, 261-6371, or 1-800-780-9742. That's 1-800-780-9742. We'll be back to talk about wolves right after this.
Your business can reach an audience like no other in Wisconsin by supporting programming on Wisconsin Public Radio. For more information about business sponsorships, call Rick Ryer at 1-800-749-3906.
For more information on regional programming for North Central Wisconsin here at Wisconsin Public Radio, or to have your community event listed with us, check out our local website at wpr.org/WLBL.
You get enough jargon and double talk in the rest of your life, why would you want it with your science news? I'm Ira Flatow. Each week on Science Friday, we skip the bogus and buzzwords and don't dumb down the big issues in science, medicine, technology, and the environment. So join me on Science Friday as we discuss science sensibly. That's on Talk of the Nation from NPR News.
And while I am talking about all things environmental, we're going to run through a few other things that are happening around the state this weekend. This Saturday, the Wisconsin Conservation Hall of Fame is holding their 24th annual induction ceremony. It takes place this Saturday at 10 in the morning at the Century Theater in Stevens Point. The doors open at 9 o'clock. If you'd like more information on this year's inductees, their phone number is 346-4992. Now, if you're up north in the Manitouish Waters area, there's a great place called the Discovery Center. And this Saturday, their naturalist, Zach Wilson, from 12 to 2 p.m., is hosting an afternoon of bird watching at the Powell Marsh State Wildlife Area. He'll be teaching you about sandhill cranes. You need to sign up tomorrow in advance at 543-2085. That's 543-2085. Now, also, the Discovery Center is doing its annual sandhill crane count in Vilas and Iron Counties. The counters are asked to listen for and count individuals in mating pairs as part of a population survey throughout the state. All of that data is later sent to the International Crane Foundation in Baraboo. The number, if you want to get involved with that, is the same, 543-2085. Here we're talking about all things wild in Wisconsin, our great natural habitat. As we look ahead to Earth Day, we've got Sharon Schwab, who's helping to coordinate the Prairie Chicken Festival that's going on this weekend north of Milledore in Portage County. And we've also got Lisa Kardash, who's a top prairie chicken expert, and Adrian Weidevin, who is the state's top wolf expert. And he is also talking quite a bit about cougars because of the big cat that was shot and killed in a residential Wisconsin neighborhood. We're going to go back to the phones right now. I think we've got another caller on the line here who's got a question about cougars. Althea in Rhinelander, you're on Route 51. Hello, Althea.
Hi. What I was curious about is it seems to me like the DNR is denying so many different sightings. I'm curious, why are we denying something that seems to be pretty obvious to me? I live in the border of Forest County and Oneida County, and it's just north of the Langlade County border as well. And my husband has seen what he believes was a cougar go right through our backyard. Our neighbor, who lives about a mile away, has seen one at her mailbox. And to the south of us, about a mile, there's a local tavern restaurant owner who told us that he saw one actually dead on the side of the road on Highway K. And he said before I could call the DNR or anyone to come look at it, couple of fellows came by with a black car and put it in the trunk and off they went with it. So there's no point in having them come investigate, but he said there was no doubt in his mind. He saw it dead. He was pretty sure what it was. So I think it's pretty obvious to us where we live that there certainly is a cougar lurking.
Adrian, we've got another skeptic on the line, and judging from her comments, she's got a good reason to be skeptical.
Well, and I appreciate the comments, Althea, and it isn't that we're denying cougars, it's just that we can't confirm cougars based on observations. We do thousands of miles of track surveys searching for their tracks, and I've gone in on dozens of situations where we've been able to verify an animal that people reported as a cougar, and it's amazing and surprising how often other animals get reported as cougars. Bobcats, various dog breeds, wolves and coyotes when they're mangy, even foxes, fishers by track, sometimes bears get reported. So we do have a lot of animals that get reported as cougars. I suspect there are some out there. It's just with the surveys we're doing, gathering biological information, getting tracks, getting solid evidence of them, we have not been able to confirm the presence of cougars. And we're very interested in those kind of reports, and we hope people do report those in. We do have a DNR website on cougars where people can report observations, and we're very interested in getting those reports. So if you do have reports like that, please get them to the DNR.
Okay. Althea, thanks so much for the phone call. Adrian, you are pretty sure, though, that it was a cougar in Rock County in the southern part of the state.
We were able to verify by tracks, plus this animal had cut its toe after it left a dilapidated barn, and we got some blood from the toe cut, and we were able to genetically determine that it definitely was a cougar.
So doesn't it make sense if there's one that there are others?
It does, and this one left tracks. Where are these other tracks? Where's the evidence of these other ones that are roaming about?
And you think that the one that was in Rock County may very well be the one that was shot and killed in that residential neighborhood in Chicago?
At this point, it's just speculation, but because we don't expect to be a lot of cougars in the area, but we will be genetically testing that and determine whether these animals do test out as the same animal.
How quick before we get the answers on that? I know a lot
of
people are
hoping about another week or so.
Let's change the topic now to wolves. They have been in the news lately because of the Conservation Congress hearings, also because the growing wolf population has, they've been very successful, haven't they?
Well, they have. We've gone from where they just returned to the state about 1975, that they had disappeared and were gone for about 15 years. And now the population we counted last year was 540 to 577. And that's the mid-late winter population. That population probably doubles when the pups are born in the spring.
And we're going to be doing our wolf count for this year. Tomorrow we've got a meeting here in Wausau at the Days Inn. Anybody who's interested in learning how we count wolves are welcome to attend that meeting from 10 in the morning till 5 in the afternoon. And, yeah, the population has grown now to where it's in the range of 500-600 animals.
And one of the topics that came up at the Conservation Congress hearings was a proposal for a wolf hunt to control that population. Here's a report filed by Wisconsin Public Radio's Chuck Kornbach.
Wisconsin's gray wolf population stands at more than 500. The animal is now off the federal list of endangered and threatened species in the state. That's got some hunters eyeing the wolf as a new target. So the Wisconsin Conservation Congress, an advisory body to the DNR board, put a wolf hunting question on yesterday's spring conservation ballot. At the session in Milwaukee County, Ron Weed of Hales Corners says he voted for the wolf hunt. He says the wolf population is getting too large.
I don't think it should go on indefinite, and if it's damaging livestock and people's pets are being killed because there's overabundance, I think they have to be controlled.
But others voted against the wolf hunt. Barb Agnew of Wauwatosa says targeting wolves is not what the state needs to do.
I believe that now that their populations have come back, kill them again? I don't get it. I'm sorry, no. We need to allow some of these things to find their own balance as opposed to just trying to control it all.
And that was a report filed by Chuck Kornbach the day after. Before they had tabulated the results of those Conservation Congress meetings, and the results, Adrian, indicate that the people who turned up pretty much overwhelmingly want a wolf hunt across this state.
There's a very strong interest in a hunt, and when we did our 1999 wolf plan, we identified hunting as one of the hunting or trapping seasons as one of the ways we would manage our wolf population.
How do you feel about that?
Well, I think we see that as a potential tool to use, but wolves were only recently delisted, only a little over a year ago, removed from the federal endangered species list. I think at this point, our big emphasis is on getting more control on problem wolves, where they are causing depredation on livestock, using federal trappers to remove those wolves, issuing permits to landowners. And I think that needs to be our first focus. And then we need to evaluate what the impacts of those controls are on the population. We haven't had liberal controls for removing problem wolves until just the last year or so because we were listed as a federal endangered species. So as we're applying more liberal controls with federal trappers, with landowner permits, we want to measure what those impacts are on the population before we move into a public hunting season.
Now you're saying that before they were delisted, your hands were kind of tied here at the state.
That's right. We had only very limited ability to be able to remove problem wolves in 2003, 2004. For a short time, they were downlisted as threatened, and then we had some flexibility, but still more limited than we currently have. And then we were operating under special permits in 2005, 2006.
But why not, if wolves have grown to the point where there are more wolves out there than you think the state can support, why not just follow the recommendations of the Conservation Congress meetings and institute a wolf hunt? Why not do it sooner rather than later?
Well, it is something we'll be looking at, but any kind of changes in the wolf mortality, we're responsible for 5 years after delisting to manage this population and make sure it doesn't become endangered again. And we have to look very carefully as we apply different controls on the population, we're applying more controls on these wolves in certain areas with federal trappers, with landowner permits. We haven't really had enough time to measure what those impacts are. We haven't fully used those tools yet because it's so recent that we've had this available. So we do need to evaluate those kind of controls before we jump into a public harvest.
Let's move on to another caller. We have Ned in Wausau on the line, and Ned, you're on Route 51. Hello, Ned.
Hi. I just had a couple of quick comments. First was I went to the Buena Vista Prairie Chicken Festival last year and went to see the prairie chickens in their courtship rituals, and I really enjoyed that. It was very, very exciting, and even though it was chilly last year, it was a very good experience. And the other comment was, I live on Lake DeBay, and you said you wanted things for birds migrating, and that's part of this. We've been observing some loons, and we don't get loons here all year round, but we had them this week, and we had four loons, and we enjoyed hearing them call in the evening. It was a real treat. So we don't always get that every year, but this year we got them. So I just encourage everyone to take advantage of whatever opportunities they have, such as the Mead or the Buena Vista or the other locations for the Prairie Chicken Festival this weekend. Give it a try. You'll like it. It's really a nice experience. And if you don't want to get up early in the morning, there's other things that happen all day long. So,
And Ned, this is a special time for bird watchers, too, because of the spring migration. And Lisa, isn't it true that you will be able to see loons in a lot of locations that you wouldn't be able to see them in later in the summer,
of
the year?
Certainly. I lived in Madison for a time, and I remember seeing them on Lake Mendota sometimes, too, while they were going through.
I saw a couple on the Wisconsin River in back of my house in Merrill, and they were just diving in and coming up, and they were so close you could see the red in their eyes, and it was just a wonderful experience. And it won't last long because they're passing through, and then they go to their lakes, and you have to go to those individual lakes if you want to pick up on them for the rest of the year.
That's right.
You've got a prairie chicken calling contest at the Mead Wildlife Area on Saturday. How about a loon calling contest, too?
I think they have that in Mercer in the summer.
All right, Ned, thanks so much for the phone call. We've got another caller here who wants to talk about the wolf hunt. We're kind of taking a scattergun approach here, talking about all things wildlife on Route 51 today. Let's go to Norm in Oneida County. Norm, you're on Route 51. Hello, Norm.
Hello there. I attended one of the Conservation Congress hearings about this wolf hunt. And I'd like to say that they do not necessarily represent the public in general. And I laid some statistics out for them, which Adrian may go into later, but they don't want to hear the statistics. For example, we went into last year's deer season with between 1.7 and 1.8 million deer. And I'm told that's the highest ever. Ironically, as the wolf population has increased, so has the deer population. We took, during last year's deer season, 518,573 deer. I'm told that 15% more are not recovered for another 77,000. There were 50,000 deer killed in our highways last year. Now, if you take 550 wolves, if they consume an average of 20 deer a year, that's 11,000 compared to a total of over 600,000 taken by humans. One other statistic, only 30% of the pups survive here in Wisconsin. 25% of the adults are lost, whether it's to diseases like sarcoptic veins, parvovirus, or hit by cars. There's territorial disputes, and because, as Adrian mentioned, they can now be taken if they're euthanized, figuring in cattle, and they're still shot illegally. So with these statistics, I don't understand how we can even begin to consider a hunting season. I would encourage those people listening to this program that are against the hunting season to please contact your legislators and please contact the Natural Resources Board and let you know how they feel.
But, Norm, isn't it true that there are more wolves in the state than the DNR had set as their target population?
It's also true that Dr. Mladenhoff and others that did a survey in northern Wisconsin found that we could support up here over 500 wolves.
So you're thinking that target might be a little bit unrealistically low?
I and a lot of others, yes.
Adrian, you want to comment on Norm's call?
Well, in any wildlife population, the potential carrying capacity and where you manage a population is generally somewhat less because in the case of wolves, part of what's their habitat are They rely on the prey populations, and as wolves spread out beyond the forested areas, that prey population becomes cattle and sheep, and so we do need to manage that population and maintain it at certain levels, because at a very high level, we're going to see higher levels of depredation problems on livestock and on dogs, and we don't want to see that. We want to have a wild, healthy wolf population in our forested areas, but when they start to spread into agricultural landscapes, we feel there is need to control and manage that population.
Norm, thanks so much for the phone call. The problems of wolf attacks, some may say that they've gotten a disproportionate share of the of media attention, but for those who have been the victims of wolf attacks, well, it's a very real problem indeed. This is a news story that we did last year at this time regarding an attack that took place in the Otter Lake area in Lincoln County. It's been almost a week since Scott Danicky was walking his dogs in the Lincoln County forest near Otter Lake, and he's still shaken up.
I had four dogs with me, four German Shorthairs, and I'm walking back to the vehicle. I hear the most ungodly howl I've ever heard. I turn around and look. Well, the howl is coming from my dog, and two wolves got it by the rear end. So I charge at the wolves yelling, and I get about 20 yards from them before they get off of my dog.
The attack killed Danicky's dog, which may have been in the wrong place at the wrong time. Adrian Weidevin is in charge of the DNR's wolf management program.
I suspect he perhaps walked his dogs too close to a wolf den, and it would have been at a time the pups would have just probably been born within the last week or so, but maybe within days.
The attack is generating local concern because it occurred near a swimming lake and campground that are popular summer destinations. But Weidevin notes that the area is surrounded by undeveloped woodlands.
It's a fairly wild country, the sort of place that wolves would inhabit. I don't think wolves are coming into the campground on any regular basis, and if we had any evidence of that, we would control the local wolves.
For Scott Danicky, controlling local wolves isn't enough.
In the northern third of the state, in any of the open public lands, you cannot take a walk with your animals without a chance of it happening.
The DNR has been given more control over problem wolves now that the animals have been delisted by the federal government. And the agency will post a notification warning visitors to Lincoln County about this attack near Otter Lake. I'm Glenn Moberg for Wisconsin Public Radio News.
And Adrian, one of the things that got a lot of people's attention last year at this time was the fact that this was at a popular area. It's a popular swimming lake during the summer. There's a campground on the northern part of the lake. And it happened this time of the year. Are there special precautions people need to take if they're taking their dogs out into the woods this time of the year?
Well, if you're walking in wildland areas, in areas where wolves are occurring, you do want to be more careful. I have a dog, and I live in wolf areas myself, and I was running my dog a week or so ago in an area where there's lots of fresh wolf signs. So you do have to be more careful in those areas. You have to stay closer to your dog. You have to maintain good visual contact. And if you see wolves, usually the best thing to do is yell, shout, and make noises. For all the time I've spent in wolf areas, hunting in the Clam Lake area, which has some of the densest wolf populations in Wisconsin, I've never encountered a wolf on the ground. So it doesn't happen very frequently, but it is unfortunate for anybody who does have that encounter.
Lisa Kardash, to what extent does the wolf population affect the prairie chicken population and the population of game birds? Is that an insignificant factor?
Oh, I don't believe that wolves and prairie chickens overlap too much. I know that there has been some cases of wolves being within the Buena Vista area. We have a pack that's just south of there, the Colburn pack in Adams County. But really, mammalian predators aren't really a large factor in the mortalities of prairie chickens. It's mostly hawks, raptors.
And how is the prairie chicken population doing on the Buena Vista grasslands as we head into this weekend's Prairie Chicken Festival?
Well, in the past couple of years, since about 2005, the population has been slowly increasing from what we've been seeing based on the counts of the males on the grounds at this time of the year. Prior to that, we did have a drop. Back in 2004, there was a really wet, cold spring, and we thought that had some impact on the population. But overall, it seems to be holding steady right at this point. In the outlying areas outside of Buena Vista and Powellson, where the majority of our birds are, we actually are seeing a decrease in the range and the number of birds and the number of booming grounds.
Now, why is that?
Well, a lot of it is just loss of habitat. They're in Clark and Taylor County, and just the land use that's occurring at that time just really isn't compatible with prairie chickens, with the land that they require. They have large area requirements with grasslands that are not disturbed continuously, and a lot of the cropping that's going on right now, the high-intensity agriculture, is not really good for them.
Now, again, at the Prairie Chicken Festival this weekend, Sharon, there are people who will be sitting out in the blinds watching the birds on the booming grounds, and even though those blinds are filled up right now, if you want to take one of the bird hikes, the guided hikes, they are still available. I'll give that phone number out again at 343-6215. Apparently, this is like the height of the season right now, and that's hard to believe because there was still snow on the ground last week.
Yeah, we saw birds on a booming ground last weekend on Buena Vista. There was snow.
Yeah.
Yeah, there are a number of other things to do, if I may mention. What's available yet are some of the mini tours on Buena Vista and at Mead, those grassland bird tours. But there's so many other things that are happening at Buena Vista on both Saturday and Sunday. There's some demonstrations of radio telemetry. There's a black pot demos is showing how to cook over these large pots. We've got other people there. They're going to talk about raptors, in particular the kestrels and the harriers, which are some of our more common birds out at the grasslands, for example. We've got someone there who's going to do some photography to show us how to take good wildlife shots. Those are some examples at Buena Vista. And at Mead, there's wetland tours, there's grassland tours. We've got folks doing bird banding, which is a wonderful thing. Kids can actually see how biologists band these birds and then release them back, and kids even get an opportunity to handle some of these birds. There's kids' crafts, and then there's so many speakers. There's poets, there's authors that'll be as part of the literary bash at Mead. And Sunday, it continues at Buena Vista, Nacida National Wildlife Refuge, Sandhill, and also Historic Point Bass.
And again, I'll be at the Mead Wildlife Area at noon, introducing author Justin Isherwood. If you're an Ideas Network fan, Gene Faraca will be there at 3 o'clock. And there's the Prairie Chicken Calling Contest at 2:30. Now, if you just joined us, I played one of the pieces that I did at the Prairie Chicken Festival. I've actually recorded two different short little documentary news pieces on the prairie chicken activity and the birding activity in central Wisconsin. We're going to play the other one, and I want you to listen very closely in case you're thinking of participating in the Prairie Chicken Calling Contest. This shows you exactly what they sound like, so listen carefully and practice up those calls for the Prairie Chicken Calling Contest Saturday afternoon at the Mead Wildlife Area. Linda Varga is waiting for the prairie chickens to arrive.
This is something I wanted to do for a lot of years. One of the things I can cross off my list.
Linda and Joe Varga of Kellner sit with me and my 11-year-old son, Tommy, cramped together in a short, narrow wooden box in the middle of the Buena Vista grasslands. It's 5 a.m., pitch black with just a glimmer of light on the eastern horizon. It's hard to make out the prairie chickens, but you can already hear them. Linda sees the dark shadows of male birds on the booming ground.
You see him yet?
Yeah, watch out front. You see him jumping.
It's Linda's first time in the blind. For Joe Varga, it's a long-delayed return visit.
Gosh, that was probably 40 years ago.
You're in high school.
More birds arrive, all males.
How many of them do you see?
A bunch.
16.
The first rays of sunlight hit the cold prairie, shining bright orange on the rooster's puffed-out throat sacs.
The orange is awesome. Can you see the orange?
Yeah, you can see the orange.
Yeah, vibrant.
The male birds square off, strutting, jumping into the air, doing backward somersaults, marking their tiny territories, and slashing at their rivals.
Them spurs, like you, just like on a chicken, you know, they're trying to hit each other with them.
Trying to claim their little territory, waiting for the females to come.
I think there's two females out there.
How can you tell?
They have no color to them. They're just a kind of a brown.
More birds arrive, and soon there are 24 combative roosters prancing and preening for the attention of five seemingly disinterested hens.
Pretty good ratio, eh?
It is.
Yeah, some lucky women.
Joe spots a white band on one of the hen's legs, marking it as one of the birds imported from Minnesota late last year to boost the genetic diversity of the central Wisconsin flock.
I don't think our prairie chickens like the Minnesota prairie chickens.
That's kind of interesting, you know. Now they're putting in a different breed, you know, of bird. And that all, I think, adds to the strength of the birds here.
By 7:30, the chickens are gone. The hens leave one by one, and the frustrated roosters follow. But for Joe Varga, the memories remain.
The display of the feathers and the air sac, you know, and their dance, their ritual, stomping and trying to protect them in the area. I think that's so neat.
For Linda, it's neat that the birds are even here.
They were hunted almost to extinction, and farmland took away their homes, and it's pretty cool.
They're still here.
They're still here, doing their thing.
on Earth Day weekend in the Buena Vista grasslands. I'm Glenn Moberg for Wisconsin Public Radio News.
Practice those calls. That piece was recorded last year, and just this past weekend it won a Best Use of Audio Award at the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association. And but what I basically just did is sat in that blind and turned on the tape recorder, and after we were all done, I asked Joe and Linda if they would let me use what I recorded. They didn't realize I was recording them at the time. And just unbelievable. It's something my 11-year-old son will never forget. And if you've got a chance to pick up on that sometime in the future, of course, the reservations for the blinds are all full for this year. But make sure you do it next year, because it's something you'll never forget.
If I may mention, there are a number of other folks that do offer that. Becoming an Outdoors Woman program, which is part of UW-Stevens Point, does make reservations for other times of the year. And that number outside of this weekend is 715, of course, 346-3259. Again, 346-3259. And there is a local landowner as well. I apologize, I don't have his number along. But there's a local farmer up in Rudolph that also has prairie chicken blinds on his farm and offers that as a nature tourism experience.
Well, there you go. We're talking about all things wild in Wisconsin as we look ahead to Earth Week. And we're talking about wolves and cougars and prairie chickens. And we've got about 9 minutes left. If you'd like to get in a quick phone call, we've got time for one or two more. 261-6371, 261-6371, or 1-800-780-9742, 780-9742. Lisa, I want to ask you about the idea of importing these birds from Minnesota. What was the reason for doing that, and how successful has it been?
Well, back in 2005, we had a conservation genetics committee that was formed with a lot of partners and involved stakeholders that made the decision that we needed to have translocation of prairie chickens based on the genetics that we found. We have a very low genetic diversity of prairie chickens at this time than where they were back in 50 years ago, and they did that based on looking at wings that the Hammerstroms had collected. So we thought that it was the time to start bringing them in. 2006 was the first year that we brought them, 2007, we brought them in. They came in from northwestern Minnesota. The first year we had 40 hens, and the second, this last year, we had 24 hens that we brought in.
And can you judge whether it's been successful or not? How would you judge something like that?
Well, we are radio collaring birds each year, and we're making comparisons with the resident hens and then the Minnesota hens, and looking at behavioral differences as well as taking blood samples of their offspring from the resident hens and Minnesota hens. And over time, we're going to see if we see some changes both behaviorally as well as genetically.
Adrian, have you ever sat in a blind? Have you ever watched the chickens?
Yes, I did it as an undergraduate at Stevens Point back about 1975, 74, something like that.
That's something else, isn't it?
It is, and I did it about 20 years ago when I was a wildlife manager over in Chano.
Let's go back to the phones. We've got Jim in Rhinelander. Jim, you're on Route 51. Thanks for calling, Jim.
Hi. I just wanted to mention two things that my daughter and I like doing every spring. One is observing the woodcocks doing their mating rituals. You don't have to, be in a blind, and you don't have to get a, not a permit, but, you don't have to apply to get in the blind. And that's really neat to watch. And if you watch these birds, you can slowly sneak up on them where all of a sudden they're landing 10 feet from you. So that's a real neat thing. And especially on a rainy evening, we like going out, walking on our road, and observing the salamander migration that happens at this time of year.
The salamander migration. You've got salamanders crossing the roads. I know we've got snapping turtles in my neighborhood.
Correct. And up here, we'll find four different species, and my daughter likes to observe which way they're crossing, and if they're still on the road, she'll take them to the other side. But now she's older, she knows what side these small vernal or ephemeral pools are in the woods, and she puts them on that side of the road.
Cool.
Yeah, it's a real neat thing to do, and it brings a big smile to both of our faces.
It sounds like a punchline for a joke. Why did the salamander cross the road? But I'm going to have to think about that for a while.
To show the chicken how it was done.
There you go.
All right.
Jim, thanks so much for the phone call. Let's go back to the phones right now. We've got Alec in Minocqua. Alec, you're on Route 51.
I was wondering if if Adrian remembered a wolf that they had called Whistler and
yes.
Whatever happened to him or the story on him.
That was a wolf, I think, up in the Rainbow Lake Pack, and I think he died in 1991, but he was the original alpha male of the Rainbow Lake Pack in the mid-1980s. He was captured, I think, in 1987, initially recaptured in 1991, and was on the air for another 4 months, and then he died from natural causes in August of 1991.
All right. Yeah. I was just wondering, I had seen a lot of wolves back in the early 90s, and I had contacted you back then, wondering where they all were, and kind of give and take on how you feel about them now. But
Alec, how do you feel about them?
Well, I do a lot of deer hunting in the Glidden area, so I got mixed feelings about them. But you know, I've seen packs of 15 come running by me at my deer stand, and you know, kind of wonder, well, you ain't going to see a deer that day, but they're in a way, they're neat that they're out there. It would be nice to kind of take a few out.
No, in a way, it's neat that we live in a state where, boy, we've still got such wildlife and such wilderness to appreciate.
Yeah. You know, a lot of people that want to protect the wolves, they don't get out there into the wild country to actually see them. I think they'd appreciate it a lot more if they actually, you know, took the foot and got out in some of the wild areas.
Oh, we hear that most of those wolf license plates come from the Milwaukee area. I don't know if that's true. Alec, thanks so much for the phone call. We are just about out of time, and I want to thank our guests today, Adrian Weidevin and Lisa Kardash, the wildlife biologist with the DNR, and also Sharon Schwab, the coordinator of the Central Wisconsin Grassland Conservation Area Partnership. You got to shorten that name, Sharon. And a reminder, the Prairie Chicken Festival and Wisconsin Literary Bash take place this weekend at the Mead Wildlife Area north of Millidore on Highway S in Portage County. For more information, you can check out prairiechickenfestival.org or call 343-6215. And again, Sharon, some of the highlights on Saturday.
On Saturday, you can be at Buena Vista, you can be at Mead Wildlife Area, you can be at Paul Olson. Lots of stuff happening at Mead, everything from bird banding to listening to poets, authors, wildlife speakers, demonstrations, food, lots of food. So I do encourage everyone to come out.
The Prairie Chicken Calling Contest at 2:30, and I will be there at noon. Author Justin Isherwood, Gene Faraca at 3 o'clock. We hope to see you out there, and then it goes on Sunday as well.
That's correct.
And then on Friday, you've got something happening
there's
in Rapids.
Things happening at the Rapids Mall. There's a nature art crawl, lots of local artists that do nature-type work. Yeah.
All right, cool. We hope to see you out there. Prairie Chicken Festival. .org. Thanks to our executive producer, Rick Ryer, and our on-air producer, Kelson Quisler. Thanks, as always, to John Altenberg for the Route 51 theme. Next Thursday, Route 51 looks at bioethics and stem cell research in the wake of a seminar scheduled at UW Marathon County next Tuesday by the Wisconsin Institute for Public Policy and Service and the Aspirus-Wausau Hospital Bioethics Committee. Route 51 can be heard every Thursday at 5 o'clock on the Ideas Network stations WLBL 91.9 FM Wausau and 930 AM Auburndale Stevens Point. Also WHBM 90.3 FM Park Falls. And now, if you've got a high-definition radio, 90.9 FM Wausau High Definition Channel 2. Thanks again for riding with us today. We hope to see you out at the Prairie Chicken Festival, the Mead Wildlife Area, this weekend. Until next week. We're heading out of town.